Well, I'm glad that Pastor Ricky set me up so nice, so I'm going to get a lot of emails, I take it. And I'm laughing because the Bible you talked about, I had to retire, so I've got a nice new crisp Bible. But I was laughing. Hey, how about worship this afternoon or this morning? Was that awesome? I'm sitting here with this headphone set on, and I've never had this on before, and I'm out there, and I'm just rocking, man, with Andrews. I'm thinking, I feel like a bald-headed Backstreet Boy, man. I am just like, I am ready, man. And then I realized, oh, I hope this isn't live, because my wife says I sing a joyful noise. I need to be very careful how it sounds. So, and just some little ground rules, too. I've been told that these are the tape that I cannot go past, because I like to walk and pace, so you'll probably see me hanging right here in this box. And another thing my wife taught me, I've learned to listen to my wife. She says, look, Dom, when you dance, stay within the box. If you get outside of the box, you're dangerous. You can hurt somebody. So I will stay within the box today. And I had this message started, and Pastor Ricky saw me this morning, and he said, how are you feeling? I said, man, I'm ready to cry. I'm cool with the message. It was that Rachel and Andrews grabbed me when I came in the door, and they wanted to pray. And I'm thinking, where do you go, folks, that you have people like this? How many are here for the first, maybe within the first month? You've been here for a month or more or less, let's say, about some new people. Fantastic. I want to just speak to you real quick. You can't find a greater group of people to be around. You need to plug into this church and just get to know the people. Spend time here and see the heart, and I think you'll find what I found also. So, of course, that's not in my notes, so that threw me off of everything. So we'll kind of just try to pull back into this. As I was doing this, I was sitting there, I was telling my wife, I said, you know, Michelle, I'm at that age where your distance of your vision is a certain way, and the close-up you have to, and this podium is just in that distance that I don't see really well. So you guys are going to be in for a real treat, because I hope I say the right words that are on these notes. So if you see me kind of lifting my glasses or leaning forward, you know what's going on. But I really do appreciate Pastor Ricky, and I do remember sitting down with him over a cup of coffee. And I appreciate his guidance. He's become a great friend to me, and I take his advice. Before I make even certain moves within my finances, in my career, I talk with him before I go ahead and do something because I want to make sure I get good sound advice. And I appreciate he and Carissa. And I was able to spend some time with them recently, and probably something that people don't realize. You see them how they are in public. They're the same in private. And that's one of the greatest compliments you can say of people. How they are in public is how they are in private, and they care about this church. I was looking through the scriptures, and the scripture that really hit me that really probably could be the greatest compliment I could give to them is this. Paul was talking to Timothy, and Timothy was a young man. He was between 30 and 40 years of age at the time, they believe, and that's where Pastor Ricky is. And he was, 30. I was trying, watching out for you, brother. So he was talking to, you messed me up. so he's telling Timothy, Timothy's taken over church, so there's a lot of things that Timothy needs to understand as he's leading this church. So if you can turn with me, if you have the scriptures, it's 1 Timothy 4, 12 through 13, and I'll just read it if it appears fantastic. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. I hope you all are thankful that we, and I know you are, it's rhetorical, you're thankful we have leaders like this. Because it's, I don't know if you're here for the first time and you saw him just up here doing the prayer, we're reading Scripture in the prayer, I was ready to go home. I was like, brother, I'm done. Let's go eat. It was fantastic. So, and I look at them, and he makes it look like it's so smooth and easy. And I was thinking, man, it can't be that hard. Look, this is a heavy lift, folks. This is not an easy endeavor. You know, sometimes I sit down and look at Pastor Ricky, and I don't know if you ever thought this way, too. I mean, what does he do for a real job? Because he gets up there, it doesn't seem like it's kind of easy. It's kind of just like he comes up, and what, does he really work? I mean, what happens through the week? And I realized as I spent some time with him, there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes that we don't even know about. This is heavy, and I appreciate them and what they do for us. As a matter of fact, I was talking to him the other day, and he said he had a 12-hour day scheduled that day. I don't work 12 hours. And he has a 12-hour day scheduled. He cares that much for the church. They really do. Quick story. Last December, went home for the holidays. I lived in West Virginia. Went home and attended our church. And the pastor up there that's a friend of ours, I saw him take a church from a daycare center to thousands. From a daycare center to thousands. So I asked him after church, I said, Pastor Tim, There's this great church I'm attending. It's called Brave Church. There's a great dynamic group of people here. Great worship. People are hungry. They're excited. They're young. They're vibrant. They're new to their faith. The pastor and his wife are on fire for their calling. What's one thing I could do to help them? And it's very rare a pastor pauses as you take the words from them. If you notice that, they can talk all the time. Okay, so he paused. And I was like, oh man, did I say something wrong? So I just stood and waited. And he pondered and he looked at me and said, support him. He said, support him. I'm thinking, I can support him. He said, no, you got to do whatever it's going to take. You have to let him know you're there with him. This is the thing, that he's going to need you at some point. You've got to be there for him. And that brings chills to me. I don't know about you, but I believe a lot of you here probably feel the same way that I do. We're in this for the long haul, correct? Absolutely. And if we are, I want to share another scripture with you that I think will be pertinent. And by the way, I don't use really big words, and when I do, I'm kind of dangerous with them. They might not mean what I think they mean, so just kind of nod your head and go with me. Okay. I just thought about it. I hope I used the right word. Okay. So Hebrews 13:17. If you have the scripture, fantastic. It says, so obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls. They are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. Now, I'm not the sharpest guy out there, but when I see benefit, hey, I want my benefit. I don't want to do something that's going to stop me from getting a benefit. So the benefit is to bring joy to Pastor Ricky and to Carissa. I want to make sure when I'm around them, I'm a pleasure. I don't want to be the person who's like, oh, I don't want to be around them again. I want to be the person that's bringing edification, encouragement, excitement, energy, vision, hope. Does that make sense? And I think a lot of you are going to be the same way. And if we truly are thankful for them, let's continue doing this. Let's continue to invite people to Brave. Let's keep serving at Brave. You heard Pastor Ricky talk about it. Let's keep growing spiritually. He mentions that a lot, spiritual maturity. And let's keep supporting Brave financially. Well, that's going to lead us into part 3 of our series, Give Thanks. And today I want to talk about how we give thanks through generous giving. How we give thanks through generous giving. We give thanks to God through generous giving. And if I had to do like a subtitle of this talk, I would call it, What You Sow Continues to Grow. What you sow continues to grow. But however, before I really dive into this, I want to share a little bit about myself. And this will prove to you, if you've ever had a shadow in doubt, that God has a sense of humor. Because I'm finding myself up here thinking of the Talking Heads. Does anybody know the band, the Talking Heads? They sang a song one time called Once in a Lifetime. And the guy's looking around at all the things he's accumulated over time, and he starts singing, How did I get here? How did I get here? Has anybody ever wondered how you got here? Because I'm wondering how I got here right now, okay? How did I get here? Well, let me tell something to you folks. Let me share this with you. God has a plan for you. You're not here by accident. Whatever was the good that happened in your life, the bad that happened in your life, and even sometimes the hard, ugly that happened in your life, you're here for a reason. You are meant to be here right now today. God has a plan for you, and I know that because he's got one for me. How do I know that? Well, let me share a story with you real quick. It was our wedding, and I was dancing with my cousin. She happens to be a pastor. I had to be careful because when I say West Virginia, my cousin, people kind of get the wrong idea. So it was our wedding. Okay, it was our wedding, and we were dancing at our reception. And she's a pastor's wife. And as we're talking, I see her really looking at me intently. And I'm thinking, this is kind of odd. And then she says, you know, I'm sensing that you're going to preach one day. And I'm looking at her, and I'm nodding my head, and I'm smiling, and I'm thinking, lady, this is so Ozzy Osbourne. There is no way I'm jumping that crazy train. There is no way I'm ever going to get up in front of anybody and speak about Jesus. There is no way. Well, as I stand here right now, this is how you know God's got a sense of humor. That was exactly 24 years ago and 1 week to the day Pastor Ricky called me. Does he have a plan? And maybe you haven't seen it yet, but it's coming, folks, so I hope you're excited. Yeah, you can clap. I think that's pretty cool. So, why do I also know God has a sense of humor? Because, see, I was the person who didn't want to do this, and here's why. Because I was the person who had a third-grade grammar level in the seventh grade. I was the guy that was so shy. My uncle didn't even know I could speak till I was in high school. I was the guy who got incompletes in college speech because I was too afraid to stand up in front of people and talk. I'd sneak out the back. My grades suffered, obviously. I was the guy that when it was time to interview to go to pharmacy school, which, by the way, I'm not. I didn't get in, and you'll see why. So So when I go to interview at the pharmacy school, I had to have a reason why my grades were so low. You know, I can't just say, well, I was too shy to show up at class, and I skipped all these classes. I had to have a reason. So I thought I would say that I was young and impetuous. Sounds like a good reason. Well, somehow what I thought in my head didn't come out of my mouth, and I said I was young and promiscuous. And I'm that's the reaction I got. And I didn't know what I said. And I'm thinking, oh, okay. Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. I'm the guy. I'm the guy that his wife buys a drill to fix a desk. I disappear for an hour. His wife comes to find him. She sees her husband toiling, pushing hard, sweating. She looks at me. I look up at her, and in non-Christian words, I said, this thing is not working. And she says politely to me, she says, do you have it going in the right direction? And I'm like, well, I know it's going on high speed. I didn't know there was a direction. I see, oh, there's an arrow. So I flip the switch. So I go ahead and drill, thinking that I had to push as hard as I had pushed. Zip through her desk. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm the guy. I'm the guy. I'm the guy right now that Pastor Ricky's probably wondering why he let him up here to speak. So what's going to go on today? So I'm that guy. But, you know. However, seriously, let's think about this for a minute. I think about life as like that drill. Have any of you ever felt like you've been drilled by life? You're like in high speed. You're toiling, you're sweating, but you're really getting nowhere. I felt the same way, so I know how you feel. And that's what happened to me, is that when I really learned about generous giving, that flipped a switch for me. It was flipped when I learned about generous giving. It really changed how everything in my life, how I looked at things. So as we go forward today, I'm going to talk about part three. But before I really jump into generous giving, I think that we should define the words that we say, because a lot of times we say things without really thinking about them. If you notice, we just have phrases and things that we say, and we don't always know what words mean. And I was thinking about this the other day. Have you ever had somebody just like, you know, they gave you something and you thanked them? And they say, hey, that's the least I can do. You maybe even said that. That's the least I can do. I was thinking, well, what's the most? Hey, brother, that's the least. What's the most, man? Okay? And well, that's the least you can do. Well, I hate that, you know, you think that little of me that you gave me the least. You know, think about that. Stuff we say. Have you ever had somebody you were in a deep conversation with and they said, hey, can I be honest with you? And I'm thinking, no, keep lying. Have you had to preface that, can I be honest with you, dictates that he's been lying up to this point. Can I be honest with you? We try to mean to say we're transparent. All right, somebody gives you something to try. You try it for the first time. Take a bite of it and say, hey, that's not bad. What does that mean? If something's good, we'll say it's good. If it's bad, we'll say it's bad. But if, oh, that's not bad. Does that mean it's partially good? Does that mean, like, you know, it's not bad? Well, it's partially good. Next time somebody gives you something to eat and you take a bite, say, hey, it's partially good. Just watch their face. See what they say, okay? Here's another one. Somebody might ask you, hey, what's going on? And you ever heard a lot of people just say, oh, not much? It just like automatically comes out of us, not much. Well, how exciting is that? You really want to hang around with that winner, not much. You see what I mean? Not much. And I mean, I've said it before too, okay? But here's what it does. When you say not much, it kind of defeats yourself anyway. And I want to talk to you for a minute, because there's some of you in here that are hurting right now, and there's not much going on in your life that you see. You're kind of struggling with some things, and I want you to know you're in the right place at the right time. And I want you to know that when you believe in Jesus, you got everything going on. He's doing things behind the scenes. You are powerful in him. There is so much going on in your life, you ought to vibrate with excitement. When people see you and they ask you a question about, hey, what's going on, you should say everything. And you watch how you want to watch them. Watch them stop and look at you. Now you better know the answer, okay? Because they're, I mean, I don't know. It sounded good at the time. So we just say things a lot of times, and I wanted to make sure we fully grasp the power of words before we move forward. So let's look at the definition of generous and generosity is. They define generous as giving more than what's necessary, and showing a readiness to give more of something. So you'll notice giving more occurs twice. Giving more than what's necessary, showing a readiness to give more of something. And I think readiness is an important word, too, that you see here. Readiness means preparedness, willingness. Preparedness and willingness to give. So it's not only giving more, but it's being prepared and willing to do that. And this definition is so like our God. Let me ask you, do you think we serve a God of the little or a God of the abundant? Absolutely. And if that's our God, what would it be like if we gave to others the way that he gave to us, if we live with that type of mindset. Now, I know some people, that might cause some tension with you, so just hang in there with me as we walk through some scriptures, and let's see if we can pull this together. Is that good? Fantastic. Okay, the scriptures. Let's turn to turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Pastor Ricky. Chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. As they pull this up. If it's okay with you all, I want to share this with you. I want to read this through with you as I read it the first time as a new Christian. As I'm sitting at my kitchen table, cup of coffee, two-bedroom apartment, in debt, trying to figure some things out, and I get this scripture, and I start to read it. Now, I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God, okay, so God's getting ready to do something. They said God, in his kindness, has done through the churches of Macedonia. So my mind's going, okay, God's done something here. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. I said, now, wait a minute. I thought I got a good God I'm serving now. He's testing these people, and they're very poor, and they're under more trials. But they are also full of abundant joy. Now, how can you be a full of abundant joy when you're stressed, when you have nothing going on and you're poor? I'm like, there's no way this can happen. And this abundant joy, which has overflowed into rich generosity. And I didn't even know what that word meant. For I can testify that they gave, and I know what gave meant because I wasn't given. The church always wanted something I wasn't given. Not only what they could afford, but they gave far more. I said, there's no way. How can I give far more if I don't even have enough to give now? And they did it of their own free will. I said, there's no way. You're twisting. You're going to have to motivate me. You're going to have to make me cry. You're going to have to get me so emotionally stirred up if you want me to give. And they begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing. And I pushed that book away and said, no way. Sharing's not a privilege. Think about that for a minute. Do you consider? I was like, there's no way. They're just trying to get something from me. Because all I had ever seen was sitting in my Catholic church, and my uncle, as they passed the basket through for offerings, he was putting money in and trying to take change out. Money going back. And I'm like, oh, well, that's cool. I guess this is the bank. I didn't realize the value of what an offering was. I had no idea. And then it dawned on me, wait a minute, let's finish reading the rest of the scripture. And it says, they even did more than we had hoped for. Their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. Their first action was to give themselves to the Lord. And it dawned on me, wait a minute, I'm trying to read this from the natural mind, the unrenewed mind. It will not make sense in the natural mind. You can't make sense of supernatural in the natural mind. It won't work with that mindset. It's kind of like speaking a foreign language. And it reminded me of a story recently when I was on an airplane and I was sitting beside this large man. And have you ever sat beside a large person in these small seats and they kind of invade your space? A couple times his hand touched my leg and I was like, brother, we ain't going there. But it was just kind of, it was kind of awkward feeling. You ever been in that position before? And I'm thinking, I was kind of a little agitated with him, you know? Then I sat there and I thought, you know, hey, I'm a Christian. Maybe he needs Jesus. So I need to share the gospel with him. So I tried to strike a conversation up with him, and he would look at me, and I would start to tell him about some things and trying to work my way into Jesus, and he wasn't really responding. I was getting frustrated, and the more I talked to him, the more angry I got. I'm like, look, brother, I'm trying to share Jesus with you. Now, I'm thinking this. I didn't tell him that, okay, just in case, but I'm thinking, I'm trying to change your life, man. There's nothing like this, and I was so excited, but I was getting agitated, and then I looked at him for a minute, and he finally spoke, and it was Italian. He doesn't speak English. We weren't communicating. You cannot have... So he had to have a translator so we could communicate. Same way how the word works. You can't take a natural mindset into the supernatural. You got to have a translator. Sometimes, most of the time, that's going to be the Holy Spirit talking to you. Now, as I meditated on these verses, it dawned on me that I had to read them through a renewed mind that was God-given, the way that the Macedonians had done. Then and only then could this make sense. So I'm going to re-examine these verses, and let's walk through them now through a renewed mind, and you'll notice some of the words that are highlighted are going to be different. And as I read to this, and I want to encourage you all to read this for yourself, a homework assignment for this week. Read chapters, 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. Read it this week and really apply it, and let me find out from you when you see me next week, did God speak to you differently? So let's re-examine these verses. Now, before we jump into this, I do want to give you a little background real quick and see how this also relates to Brave. Let's give some context to this. Paul was taking up an offering above a tithe to help the poor Jewish believers that were in Jerusalem. They were being persecuted. So for us, how does that relate today? We're going to be taking up an offering for the compassion offering for this as we finish this series this year. So be thinking about that. Yeah, I know it doesn't completely compare, but we are taking up an offering to help people in need. So let's read this now. 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5. Now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters. Now I'm getting excited because now I'm thinking different. He wants to tell me something good is coming. What God and his kindness, God's got kindness, has done through the churches of Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles and they are very poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift of the believers in Jerusalem. They even did more than we had hoped. Their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. Now, which one? Yeah, absolutely. Which one do you feel better when we read? Do you see how the renewed mind? Absolutely. How the renewed mind can change you. Now, I'm going to try to walk through this a little bit if you just want to leave this up, and we'll try to break some of these things down. I want to make sure I stay on my time. Okay, so first of all, Paul's pointing out to the Corinthians what had been done to the Macedonian church. And so for him to point this out, this had to be a substantial enough size of a gift to make an impact for Paul to mention. This isn't like them raising a dollar bill for an offering. Now, for them, maybe a dollar was a lot, but putting in perspective, if we raise a dollar here, Pastor Ricky ain't going to be excited going to Trinity Cafe. Here's our dollar. You see what I'm saying? So it had to be a generous offering. These people had hardly anything, so whatever they could give was pretty phenomenal. Also, Paul used this to inspire and not compare negatively. I want to bring that up because it's easy for Christians to forget that we're here to inspire each other and to growth and not to compare or tear down. Because it's easy to say, well, look what this church gave. Why didn't you give this? Or look what they gave. Or they'll hold somebody up. Well, this person gave this amount of money. That's not what that's about. This isn't comparison. This is inspiration. Absolutely. That was good. So next step. Okay, next. Paul mentions what God and his kindness has done. So let's look here. What God and his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. Now, what a wonderful thing just to think of God's kindness. Just that alone, God's kindness. Have you ever thought of how kind God is in your life? Absolutely. What he's done for you? Have you ever experienced the pleasure of God working through you to help another meet their financial need? I'm going to read that again. Have you ever experienced the pleasure, the sheer pleasure of God working through you to help meet the financial need of another? What sense of joy did that bring to you? Now think for a moment, too. Could that person in need have been praying for a miracle? And God worked through you to meet that? How awesome is that, folks? How powerful to be an instrument of God and God's use in someone's life. How kind God is to us. Now let's move on. Let's move forward. They are being tested. So as you read here, they are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. But they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed into rich generosity. Let's pause a moment here, and I want to examine the but. How often do you hear that in church? So I started thinking, I was going through this. So we've talked about Ozzy Osbourne, Talking Heads, Backstreet Boys, and now we're talking about the but. So here we go. How often, let me ask you, yes, the Macedonian situation seemed bleak. These people did have next to nothing. However, the key to remember is that they gave themselves first to God, which changed their hearts, and that gave them hope. And hope is defined as an earnest, it's not a wish. Some people say, oh, I hope that happens. I hope that works. It's not a wish. It's an intense, earnest, intense expectation of something good happening. Hope is an earnest, intense expectation of something good happening. Do you see when that rises up inside of you, how you can move on the other side of the butt? So what does that mean for us when we're facing stresses and anxieties in our life? We have a large unexpected bills, maybe a medical expense. You know, I mentioned the money part of it, but that doesn't mention the emotional end of it. Just to say, yeah, I don't have money to pay this bill. What's the emotional aspect of that? What's the stress you're going through? What's the feelings you're dealing with at that point? Where's your heart at that point? It's tough sometimes, so how do we react? I know when I'm in a situation, sometimes I'll be negative, and my wife has to rope me in. I'm not super Christian. I'm just like everybody else. And I know you all know what I'm talking about. When some negativity comes your way, what's the first thing out of your mouth? But what we believe is very crucial. which side of the butt we fall on is going to influence our action. One side's going to focus on the lack, the other side on the abundance and the joy. One side's going to lead us to holding on to everything that we have, that hoarding mentality. I don't want to give anything. The other side's going to focus on the rich generosity, which meets the needs of others. So what side do you think God's going to bless? What side do you think God's going to bless? I mean, these are obviously, they're rhetorical questions. You know the answers. Always be cautious when you where you place your butt, because the word butt minimizes what is stated before it and emphasizes what comes behind it. So what do I mean by that? Well, when negative situations come up, I've been prone to spew forth some negative when some situations happen that I didn't like. And my wife had to rope me in, and she had to remember saying, but God. Whatever negative thing happens, say, but God shall meet all my needs according to his riches and glory. Whatever happens, but God. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But whatever happens, but whatever I put my hand to shall prosper. Do you see how that reframes everything that you were thinking about? So when it comes time of need, you've got everything you need, folks. You're prosperous. So moving forward, these people were so generous. They gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. Paul points out they weren't coerced nor guilted into this. It's not going to be where we're going to have, when Pastor Ricky talks about the compassion offering, it's not going to be up here and we're going to show the videos of all these people who just can't, we're just going to try to make you, manipulate you to give. You got to want to give. It's got to be a free will. There is so much joy in giving out of your heart. You know, these folks, because they gave out of their own free will and they gave more than was asked for, far and above, they met the very definition of generosity. The Macedonians met that very definition of generosity. For us, what do we want to say when it's our turn? Hey, that's the least we can do? When Pastor Ricky takes a check to somebody for one of our offerings, they thank him. Hey, that's the least we can do. Or is it going to be, hey, that's the most we can do? Really, if we're the ones in need, we would be thankful for anything. When I'm hurting, if somebody gave me anything, I'd appreciate it. But how much more thanks to God would we bring if the gift was a generous one? If I gave you $10 or something, you'd be thankful. But if I gave you $1,000 because you had a need to pay a bill, how thankful are you to God? Who gets the glory for that? So with generosity, God gets more glory. How much do you think God would appreciate the people who gave generously to his children in need? Do you think by us giving to people in need, God's going to appreciate us even more? He always loves us, but he doesn't want to abandon a cheerful giver. He wants to be there with them. Pastor Rick mentioned last week with what Jesus has said. What you do to the least of these, you do unto me. Because of this, when we give to people in need, we are actually giving to Jesus himself. So what gift are we wanting to give him? The least we can do? Hey, Jesus, here you go. That's the least we could do. Or the most we can do? I'm just sitting thinking, I ask a lot of rhetorical questions. I need to start asking open-ended questions that you guys speak back to. So anyway, now as Paul goes on, he mentioned that they were begging again and again for the privilege of sharing. They were begging again and again for the privilege of sharing. So we have to do a major pause here, because that blew my mind still, begging. I'm going to ask a silly question here again. We've all heard how generous we are at Brave Church. Pastor Ricky tells us often. But have any of us been as so generous that we chased Pastor Ricky down begging him for the opportunity to give? Pastor Ricky. Can you imagine us running after Pastor Ricky? Pastor Ricky, Pastor Ricky, Pastor Ricky, take my money. Can you give it to the Jews in Jerusalem? Can you take this up to Trinity Cafe or help the... I mean, what do you think he'd do after he passed out? I mean, it probably, think of it. What pastor wouldn't pass out? Think about that. I mean, I'm joking about this, but seriously, I want to bring us back to about that most generous gift. Is it really our heart's desire, though, to help meet the needs of another person? Do we have an intensity? That's what begging really is. It's in having an intense desire to do something that you want to be part of it. You want to partake. And what influences this is how we view the opportunity of giving. See, as we read on, they viewed it as a privilege. And this word's powerful, because today the world takes the word privileged and makes it sound like it's a negative word. We're privileged. Privilege is defined as a special favor granted to a special, specific group of people. Special favor granted to a special, specific group of people. We can only look at something that we participate in with value as a privilege. If the value is there, the privilege to participate is seen. No value, no privilege. They obviously valued the opportunity to give. So let me ask you, do you see the value of generous giving? And do you see it as a privilege? No value, no privilege. If you don't put much emphasis on it, it's not that big of a deal to you. If you understand it and you're generous, man, it's a huge privilege to you. So, how did the Macedonians get to this point? We're talking about God's children here. And we have certain rights and favors granted to us when we exercise them. And the Macedonians knew this because they gave themselves first to God. So we end here at the beginning. And what I mean by that, when we first give ourselves to God, he can have our hearts. Do you remember I talked about giving ourselves first to God changed how we read the subject and understood more about giving? It changes our hearts. That's what Paul wanted and God desired of the Macedonians. God desired the same for us. When we seek him first, he can change our hearts. And in the process, we become more like him and are generous. And one of the beautiful things is he provides all we have as we give it back to him. He can entrust us with even more. We've heard Pastor Ricky mention as we spend more time with God, we spiritually mature. We gain a greater understanding of all that he's done for us and experiencing an overflow of rich generosity from him, from God. He blesses us to be a blessing. We are thankful, so we give thanks through generous giving. We are thankful, so we give thanks through generous giving. So I'm wrapping up here. So what does that look like? I have a few minutes. How about if I share a story with you all? Does that sound good? Okay. So my wife and I and our kids, we were moving into our first home, and we're moving out of a two-bedroom home. And it was kind of a struggle, and we finally were able to get our first home. So I found myself one day sweeping up the kitchen, getting ready for our first extended family dinner, when people, all of our extended family were coming over. So as I'm sweeping up the kitchen area, I have Christian music playing, and I start to hear this music. I'm praising God for everything he's done for us and how just thankful I am. And I hear this thing offered about the mission, that they had this feed the hungry type of thing going on. And it touched my heart enough that I said, I need to give to that. I felt a stirring that I need to help those people. I'm thankful for what God's given me. I need to help these people. But then the back of my mind said, no, wait a minute, man, you're house poor. You just moved in this house, man. You went from two bedrooms to four. You got $40,000 worth of debt. How are you going to come up with anything to give to these people? But then I heard the music again, and I was just going back to praising God. Do you see how it depends upon what side of that butt you end up on? And then all of a sudden I said, you know what? I'm doing this. We talked to my wife. We went ahead and we sent them off a check. We gave generous from what we had. It might not have been as generous as what you could do, but for us at that point in our life, it was generous. So we find ourselves shopping a couple weeks later, and we're out one evening, and my phone rings. And I look down, and here's my district manager, and I'm looking at this. He doesn't call me this late at night. I better answer it, see what he needs. So as I answer the phone, he tells me, hey, listen, Don, they were reviewing salaries, and they need to adjust yours upward. Cool. I mean, what do you say? Like, awesome, man. What? Awesome. So he said, hey, I said, thank you. And he said, do you want to know how much? I'm like, no, tease me some more. Yes, absolutely. How much is it? Now, what is this going to be? Yes, tell me. And he said, he gave me the number. Folks, it was 12 times what we had given 2 weeks earlier. 12 times. Yeah, give the glory to God for that. Man, that's awesome. Look, we didn't do anything other than listen to prompting. I didn't let the negative side of the butt pull me from the positive side, the abundant side. And we just listened. Does that make sense? So what was going on? While we were out shopping, we were budget shopping. We didn't have a lot for Christmas. And we wanted to get my father-in-law a TV because he had helped us as we were moving into our home, took care of some of the lands, taking care of seeding and all the stuff that happens as you build a house and move into a home. And their TV was on the fritz, so we wanted to buy a new TV for him. But we didn't have the money. But as soon as he told me how much that money was, that caught the increase in my salary was, I turned to my wife immediately and said, go get the TV. Just go get it. And it was like, what? Just go get the TV. It didn't matter because the money was there now. We were able to bless somebody else. Now, how cool was that? That's awesome, right? Now, what I did share with you was that was exactly to this month 13 years ago. And what do I say that for? because that seed we sowed, it continued to grow. Because what do I mean? It affected my 401k. The raise in salary affects how much is put in and what they match. Your pension, what your raises are. That little seed that I sowed continued to grow. Pretty cool, isn't it? But the cooler thing is that it gave me more seed to sow. See, people eat the seed. It gave you more seed to sow. So that being said, 5 years ago, we were 1 year into our home here in Florida, and we felt prompted to help a family member out, and we did so. And within a few weeks, I'm driving home, I'm pulling into my driveway, and my phone rings in the evening. And I look down, and here's my regional director this time. I think, what does he want this late at night? So I thought, well, I better answer the call. So I took the call. He said, hey, Don, they're doing salary reviews, and they need to adjust your salary upwards. Kid you not. We need to adjust your salary upwards. I said, awesome. Do you want to know how much? No. Tease me some more. I mean, come on. Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's like a goofy question. Do you want to know how much? Yes, I want to know. So tell me, how much was it? It was two times what we had sowed. And you know what's awesome about that? That was 5 years ago. That's at least 10 times the increase, if you think about it, every year. Again, that affected what my 401k was, my raise, pensions. But it also affected, again, the seed I had to sow. Because the seed I sowed continued to grow. So you all ready, brothers and sisters, to hear the rest of this? All right. A year after that, we felt led to help another family member out. So we did. I'm driving home, getting in the driveway, my phone rings. Look down, it's my regional director. I already knew it before I answered it. I knew exactly what was going to be said before I answered this call. And I answered the call, and he is laughing. I mean, he's laughing hysterically. Don, they did a salary review. You're going to be revised upward. Absolutely. Just tell me how much. Don't tease me. So he gave me the number, guys. It was 10 times what we had sowed. 10 times what we had sowed. That was 4 years ago. That's like 40 times where we would have been if we hadn't sowed. The seed we sowed continued to grow, and it gave us more seed to sow. Does that make sense? Let me just give you a real quick vision. We'll wrap up here. When you live in the natural, do the worldly thing. You're living on your 3 to maybe 4% raises, so you're going on a little bit like this. But when you live in God's kingdom, it's like I tithe, and then I give. I reap. I tithe, I give, I reap. I tithe, I give, I reap. Do you see the difference? But I don't eat the seed in these sections, because if you do, you end up back here. Yeah, that's good. Y'all just marinate on that for a minute, because that's pretty good, okay? That made me excited when I was doing it. I said, dude, this is awesome. So anyway, let me wrap up with this. Can you understand why now I'm so thankful? I'm thankful for what God's done in our life. I'm thankful for what he started 13 years ago. What would our story have been today if I'd not given that day? Would I have been here? Probably not. Maybe something else would have came up, but probably not. What would our story have been today if I had not given that day, if I wouldn't listed that prompting and gave to that offering? I don't like mentioning what God's given us as a harvest a lot of times, because that's between God and myself. I just did that for inspirational purposes. You probably have some good stories that maybe are better than that one. But that's what Paul did with the Macedonian church. He used something that happened to be inspirational to the Corinthians. And I want to tell you that this story is just to bring glory to God, and hopefully it did inspire somebody. And we don't give to get. I do want to make a quick point. We don't give to get. Man, Don, look at your salary. You went up. I bet you kept giving so you make more money. That is not what we did. We gave because of a generous heart, what God gave to us first, and we were compelled to do it. So it's important you give yourself first to God. We gave because we just were thankful. And as we go forward this year with the compassion offering, I want to ask you, what will your story be? What will your story be? If we come back, we won't be in this building 13 years from now, by the way, Pastor Ricky. We'll be in a big church. But when we get back together, will you be up here sharing a story of saying, this is what happened because we started in that compassionate offer, we didn't eat our seed? Okay. Another thing, too, I want this to be from your own free will. It can't be something that you felt like you were, gosh, they gave us a talk on money. All they do is talk about the church. I hope you didn't take that today from that. I want you to understand this is from a generous heart. That's the only way you give. It's got to come from a generous heart. And God loves a generous giver. Know this. God loves a generous, cheerful, prompt-to-do-it giver. And I want you to read that in chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians in the Amplified Version and meditate on that. So as we conclude, I'd like to pray for us. I'm going to have us bow our head now, please. And I want to pray. And I first want to recognize those people who haven't maybe taken the time to do that first step with God, giving themselves to God. They haven't accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior yet. If that's you here today, I'd like for you to raise your hand real quick, please. Thank you. Now, as we go through this, let's go ahead and pray together with those individuals. Father, thank you for all you do for us. Jesus, we just want to confess that we believe you're raised from the dead. Believe in our hearts, we confess with our mouth that you are our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to just love you and you loving us, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be your children. We accept you in our heart, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn over to Pastor Ricky. Okay, thanks.
Man, wasn't that good? And thank you so much. I've read that verse and stuff, I promise, but there's certain things that you drew out of it I've never seen before. And something I want to bring attention to is that was your very first message ever preached to a church. Is that right? That's fantastic. So there was a thought I had. I thought, hey, you can just take us now. You can just come back next week, and you can do the rest of the year if you want to. Because you just put me to shame. Knowing that was your first time, I was like, well, why would I go back up? I mean, this, so such a good word. Amen. Hey, Andrews, can you jump on the keys for just a minute? I got to preach another hour now. Come up for just a minute. I'm not going to preach another hour. I'm not. But there is something that he spoke that I thought was really good, and I thought we'd add some music to it, because I told you before, I've come from a Pentecostal background, and they used to play music at the very end, and it got real spiritual, so here we go. But can you put the 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 5 up real quick? There's one line, and then we're going to show the compassion offering. Next verse, I think it's the verse. Yeah. There's a line, and I know he tried to hit his time, and he did a great job. So look at this line. I never saw this before. They even did more than we had hoped. Every year, we have put a goal out at this church. The first year, we set it for 18. You did more than we had thought. You gave 36. All right? You did it. You did that. We didn't do that, as a staff or whatever. The second year, we put a goal out of 25,000. That's a lot, in our context. And you did more than we had hoped. You gave 40. This year, we said we need to reach around 30,000. There's a number of things, reasons why that is, and I'll explain that in just a second. I believe, just like you got those different phone calls, I believe by faith that you'll do more, because it's who you are as a church, generous people. You understand it. And here's why I know that. And if you have not heard Don's story, man, I'm telling you, get with him. The story is incredible. He shared it with me prior to the message, and just incredible story. And there are also times, by the way, that you'll give to God and the enemy will test you and you'll lose your job. I've seen that happen. People gave to God for the first time and they gave the 10%, they gave the tithe, they gave towards the offering, they gave what they felt that God was calling them to do, they prayed about it and all of that, and then something bad happens. I've seen that happen time and time again, right? But let me tell you something, why that person, I tell you, this is so important. You got to get this. You have to get this. Notice the line that comes after the comma. It says they gave more than what they hoped for. They gave out of their poverty. They gave with joy, all because their first action was to give themselves to the Lord. They had already given their money to the Lord. You got to hear that. the reason why they found it joyful to give with what they had, and they gave more every time, because they realized nothing they had was theirs in the first place. They weren't giving out of, that's mine. I earned that. I went to college for that. I got the rate. I worked hard. I showed up for work on time. This is my stuff. This is what I want to do. This is my plan. I got a vacation stuff. I got a Disney vacation package ready to go with me. I got some golf I want to play when I'm 50. I've got a plan. You know, I want to put 19 kids through college. I want to scholarship people. I want to get a yacht. I want to get my car paid off. I want to have a house. I want to have two houses, one Airbnb and one VRBO. I want to get this thing going. You know, this whole plan, listen, everything they had was already God's, because their first action was to give themselves to the Lord. So because they had already given themselves to the Lord, giving more was natural to them. So as you pray about this compassion offering, it's got to come from a place of, I give to you, Lord, first. Everything I have is yours in my life, not just financially, every part of my life. That's why we're also including serving hours, because it's like saying, man, everything, my time is yours. My finances are yours. This body is a sacrificial body I have put on the altar to give to you, God. You have the final say in my life. That's the first action. And so this year's compassion offering, we'll walk through this real quick just to remind you, even though we talked about it last week, these are the areas which we're trying to give towards and things like this. So let's go through these real quick. Some of you asked some questions. I want to make sure I'm clear. That's why I've got to take a moment on this, because some of you are like, well, where's that money going? I actually had somebody come and say, so what are you putting the compassion offering towards? And I was like, I just preached on that, like a whole message. So here you go. Write this down for real, because I'm about to tell you. Ready? Okay. Here's what we're doing. We're trying to raise around $30,000, but I know you can do more. Trinity Cafe is an example. This is who we've given to in the past. The reason why we want to give towards Trinity Cafe is because we believe the Bible says to give to the poor. Well, we don't believe it. We've read it 100 times, and it's all through it, so it makes sense. So we want to give to organizations like Trinity Cafe and others that we find. There's a couple that we have in our mind, but we're not going to name names because we don't want to promise stuff, because people, hey, I watched that video clip. You said you're going to give to us. Why didn't you give to us? You know, but Trinity Cafe and others like it. Does that make sense to you? Okay. You say, well, why don't you put the number? Tell us how much. I don't know how much money we're going to bring in. So, I don't know that yet, right? A lot of this is contingent on. What if we, you know, got $1? Well, then they get 10 cents, you know? I don't know. So, does that make sense? So, there's that, okay? Child Christian education. In the past, we've given through some local Christian scholarship funds. We've done this before. Christian schools that we help get children a Christ-centered education. Not necessarily children. Actually, none of the children that go to this church, children we don't even know. So we give it to the school, and the school scholarships kids to get a Christ-centered education, elementary age, typically. In the last case, it was actually high school. Does that make sense? Kids who don't have the money to go get a Christ-centered education. So some of this will go towards that cause, okay? Jerusalem Institute of Justice. We believe in giving to the Jew first. We want to help those over in Israel. And so this is an institute that's over in Israel that basically Jews are discriminated against who are Jewish Christians, give their life to Christ, and then they're discriminated against because of their faith in Christ. And so they're not oftentimes, you know, some legal stuff that they have to go through. They lose certain jobs or the certain funding they don't get or whatever it might be. And so there's lawyers over there who need the funds to be able to go fight in courts for them on their behalf. And so that's what Jerusalem of Institute of Justice is, okay? Last one is Odessa Elementary Auditorium. We've got, did you notice Don's taller than me? Did you notice? And he backs up, and there's the light. If you notice, you look up here, the light hits this partition up here. And for even the music productions here that go on for our community, we talked to the music teacher and their staff, and they would love to have that bar up there with all those lights drop down a little bit. And then not only that, their audience mics and stuff like that. We all have to set all this up. So we were just trying to figure out what's a way that our church could be a blessing to them. I'm going to tell you what I want our church to do. When our church has to leave this place at some point, we get land or we get a building, all of that happens. I want this school right here to say they were a blessing to us. And we're going to leave all of that behind. That's not going to be ours to keep. Hey, we're leaving. Take back the lights, you know. But we got a quote on it to do the whole renovation, to do it the way that we would love to bless them. Just the whole thing is $30,000. We got a quote, $30,000 to do it all, okay? Now, the lighting's cheaper than that, so we're going to do these things in phases, unless you give more. But you follow me? So that's part of the plan in a phase. We want to help try to figure that out. And then we want to give towards our building fund. Remember, last week I celebrated, so we have $100,000 in our building fund sitting there. We're trying not to touch it. We're going to do everything in our power not to touch that building fund as we continue to operate in our church. But we want to continue to keep giving and keep sowing so that can happen. And so some of this, though, we hope to push towards our building fund and make that thing grow. Does that make sense to you? So that's where the money is going, okay? That's where it's at. And so that's our compassion offering. So on your seat, you'll see a compassion offering card. And this is how we're wrapping up. That compassion offering card that's on your seat, I need you to take that with you. Don't leave that behind. That's my encouragement. That's the whole message today. There's a compassion offering card. Take that with you. That's for you to keep. You do not need to turn that in. That is for you. This is not a pledge card. And we're not going to call you like, hey, I saw what you pledged. Now, we do have this on video so we can see what you're writing down, but we have weird cameras in here. Just kidding. You take that card with you, and you're going to notice what it says on the card. Okay, at the very bottom, I wrote specifically that sentence. I've prayed about this. And after talking with God, after considering what he's done for me, this is what I want to give. And the reason why I wrote, this is what I will give, is because I want you to stand on that. I've prayed about it. This is what God's calling us to give towards this compassion offering. Some of you, honestly, $500 is a ton, and you just go, man, that's a lot. Some of you, you go, that's easy. That's easy. You know, some of you, $1,000's easy. Some of you, $1,000 seems like a moon away, right? Everybody's at a different place, maybe. My point is, I want you to pray about it. Say, God, this is what you want us to give. This is what we're going to give in faith. We're going to believe it. We're going to go for it. Two collection dates, December 22nd, and I think it's January 19th is the second one. That's just kind of like somewhere in that gap. That's what we're trying to do, and to give you two opportunities to give towards this. Does that make sense to you? Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We're so thankful for you, thankful for who you are. And Lord, as we consider our gift to you, Lord, we are thankful for all you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.